chapter number 11. The next three Sunday evenings we're going to be speaking on prayer. And there's so much that you can talk about when it comes to prayer. It's been months and years and never exhausted the topic here. I think prayer is something that is very important, something that is something that many times I've never heard a mature believer that said they did not want to increase their prayer life. Prayer is something that is vital for our Christian faith and for our Christian walk. And tonight we're just going to entitle tonight's message is some thoughts on prayer. Some thoughts on prayer. There's just so many different things to think about. Tonight there's just a few different things I'd like to look at. First is the priority of prayer, the essentials of prayer, and then also some of the hindrances to prayer. So there's some different thoughts here tonight. I pray you get something out of this. And as we throw a lot up there and a lot at you, I'm hoping that there will be something you take away and you leave this place saying, I want to come closer to God with my prayer alone. Let's hear about first at the priority of prayer. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 11. And look at just verses 1 and 2. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. It says, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. Now, this is talking about Jesus. And it says, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I don't know about you, if we want to see how important prayer is, study through the Gospels and see how many times Jesus Christ went up to a mountain or to a solitary place to pray. You'll find that his lifestyle was much about prayer. Many times he would not sleep just so he had the opportunity to pray. And if Jesus, being the Son of God, felt like he needed to pray to be close with God the Father, then how much more should we pray and pray without ceasing? Continue on, verse 2 says, and he said unto them, and that next phrase, when you pray. When you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He doesn't say when you get around to it. He is saying that this is something that's important. This is something we need to do. And then it continues on, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. This is a wonderful prayer. I know sometimes it's found in Matthew chapter 6. Some people think because people use it as a ritual or some people use it in chanting things that we should not consider it. It's still part of the Word of God and some wonderful truths in there. And the next few weeks we might dive into a couple of these things. But I want to get to look at verses 1 and 2 tonight just for a second to help us understand that Jesus Christ made prayer a priority and we need to also. The Bible says, the Bible puts a lot of priority on prayer. It says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, once again, it's not if, it's when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know what? There's so much emphasis placed on prayer. There's a priority. The Bible says that even he wants his house to be called a house of prayer. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it in a den of thieves. And it's so important that what do people think of our church? You know, when they think of Faith Baptist Church, what's something that comes to their mind? And I don't know, it's great to have them thinking, you know, there's a great choir worker, a great choir, or there's a great children's ministry, or a great youth ministry, or great this, great that. But one thing the Bible is saying that Jesus desires for his house and his day to be called and considered a house of prayer. I wonder if that's something they could really truly say about any churches today. That's a place where they pray. That's a place where they pray to God and seek their answers. Jesus is saying we need to make sure this is the priority. Obviously, they were doing something wicked in that day and time. They made it into a den of thieves by cheating people. But Jesus was saying, my house should be called the house of prayer. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, the Bible says, howbeit this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. That this father had brought this demon-possessed child to the disciples. The disciples could not cast out the demon. And the disciples watched Jesus rebuke the demon and talk about the faithless generation. And once again, that's a whole other story. But the disciples could not understand why they could not cast out that demon. You know, other times they have been used by God to cast out demons. Why couldn't they cast out that one particular demon? And they came to Jesus afterwards and they said, and this is what he said to them, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. You know, there are some things in this world that we need to bathe in prayer. some things in this world we must learn what biblical wisdom is and be able to set aside some of our own things that we enjoy and things that we love or things that are necessities in our lives so we can focus in on this one thought. I want God to hear me. And this is something I know I have to depend upon God for. And my prayer and fasting, that might be something we look at in the next couple of weeks, because I know our goal is we're going up to our Bible conference and our friend day is to make sure our heart and our church and our lives are as clean and as pure as we can be, that we're on communion, we're communing with God, we're speaking with God, and there might be some things in our lives that we're asking God to do some of the hard things, yes. And when we're going to ask God to do the hard things, it might mean that we need to focus on praying, we might need to focus on fasting, because as the disciple said, I don't understand, why couldn't I cast that demon out? I've done it before. He says, look, this time is only by prayer and fasting. When we're asking for the hard things, when it comes to asking God to change those hard cases that we talked about this morning, you know, many times it's going to involve some prayer, it's going to involve much prayer, and it's going to involve fasting. Here's some quotes from some different godly men that I thought that I enjoyed when I talked about prayer. One of those important foundations in a Christian's life is prayer. The word prayer means to ask. Not only should we praise God, we should constantly bombard heaven with requests for people and deeds in the ministry. We get wisdom, we get insight into the scriptures, sometimes only by a result of prayer. Ian Bound once said, to be little with God is to be little for God. If we don't spend time praying, we're not going to amount much to God. But to be little with God is to be little for God. R.A. Torrey said this one time, he said, I'd rather teach one man to pray than to teach 10 men how to preach. The Bible talks about how the disciples spent 10 days praying, and when they preached for 10 minutes, 3,000 people got saved.
Amen.
And how many times people will pray for 10 minutes and then try to minister for 10 days, and they wonder why they don't see results. These prayer warriors really had a priority with God. If you guys even go to the Old Testament, you see characters like Enoch. He walked with God so close that God said, come on up a little bit early.
Yes.
Think of Moses, whenever the children of Israel sinned and they murmured, he fell on his face before God. You think about Samuel, it talks about how he was a man of prayer, that God did not let any of his words fall void to the ground. You think about the 64-word prayer of Elijah, how it caused fire to come down from heaven. And we think about how David's prayer life made him a man after God's own heart. How Jeremiah learned to pray for great and mighty things for God. How Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks just for one prayer. And as we learned that a few months ago, Jacob became the prince of God on his knees before God, before that angel of God that came to visit. Great men in recent days have this type of testimony. Edward Payson says he wore grooves in the wooden floor by his bed because he stayed there so long and so often in prayer. A man named John Hyde was known as Praying Hyde because his family talked about how he prayed more than he slept. The Bible talks about, D.L. Moody says, prayer is the key in the morning and the bolt in the evening. Another prayer says, a man that kneels before God will stand before men. Over and over, so many quotes you can look up. And what people are saying, there's a priority in prayer. But is prayer something that's a priority in our lives? The great pianist, Rubinstein, was once asked about his piano practice. He replied, if I miss practice one day, I know it. If I miss practice 2 days, my friends know it. If I miss practice 3 days, he said, the world will know it. And I think that applies to our Christian lives sometimes. When I'm dealing with somebody and I you can see that anger is on their face or there's frustration, they're upset. Sometimes one of the things I want to ask them is, did you pray today? And because, did you spend any time with God today? Because I know that I fall short when I don't spend the time I'm supposed to with the Lord. When I don't get the time to be able to read my devotions and pray. When I try to go on my own strength and my own wits and my own abilities, I fail, and it shows. It shows my family. It shows the people I work with, the people I minister to. Do you take time to pray? Pray the show. Here's a poem called The Secret. He says, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise. like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. When I thought of others' mornings, when the keen remorse of mine, when I had too loose the moorings with their presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. And it's just that there's so much truth to that. If we want God's presence, we want God's power, we must make a priority prayer. Okay, Pastor, sometimes when I get to this praying time, there's distractions, there's things that bother me, there's things that I guess my mind can't stay focused and straight. How can I be effective in my prayer? And that's the second one. The first is the priority of prayer. The second one is the essential or the effective prayer. So does God hear and answer prayers? The answer is yes. So if God hears and answers prayers, how can I make my prayers effective? What is it that I need to do, or what is it I need to focus on to be able to accomplish what God wants to in my life? I think one of the great prayer warriors of centuries gone by was George Mueller. He was known for taking care of over 10,000 orphans, starting multiple schools and founding Sunday schools and helping contribute large amounts of money for mission work. He did so many great things for God. And he wrote these five things that he says was keys to effective prayer. Keys to effective prayer. First thing he wrote, he says, entire dependence upon the merits and meditations of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only ground of any claim to blessing. Now listen to this. Entire dependence upon the merits and meditation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only ground of any claim to blessing. The only hope we have is what we find in Jesus Christ. By his power, by his strength. The Bible says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right? You know what? And Mueller believed that. He never gave up. He talked about story after story about how day by day God provided all of the needs for all these thousands of people he was taking care of. And he was persuaded. He says, I'm not going to give up. I'm basing it not off of my credentials, not off my strength, not off of my righteousness, not off my holiness, not off of what I can do, but what Jesus Christ can do. The second key to an effective prayer life is not just relying on Jesus Christ, knowing it all depends upon him. The second thing is separation from all known sin. Separation from all known sin. You know, you hate to be hard, you hate to be mean about things, but the reason why our prayers are many times not heard is because of hearts are not right. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that means if you have a sin that you know is in your life and has gripped your heart, you know it's there, and you are not, and you're refusing to get things right, refusing to say, admit that it's a sin, confess it as a sin, and do your best to try to turn away from it. God's saying that sin means more to you than I do. Oh no, it doesn't. It does, because of the fact that you're not willing to get it right. If it meant more to you, if I meant more, then you would go and do what the Bible tells you to do and try to get it right. See, there's no way that sin, that's why he doesn't hear you. That sin has become something that has grabbed a hold of you. To some point, it's become an idol because I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to leave God down here. I know God wants me to deal with that, but I'm choosing not to. And it's important to understand. We want to have an effective prayer life. It must be dependent upon the merits and meditation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason why I became a claim of blessing is because it's by his power and through his name. But we need to separate it from all known sin. And I'm not talking about some sin that maybe you struggle with this little thing and you get it right. God says if you confess it, he'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. You can have that right. The devil will bring guilt to you. But if you have no sin in your life and you're going to do something with it, God's saying he's not going to hear your prayer. Third thing is, you have to have faith in God's word. That faith in the word of promise. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's the thing, is you must have faith. As when you're there and you're praying and you're seeking God's face and you're asking God for the hard cases and you're asking God with these other things and praying in His will, you have to have faith that He is a rewarder, that He does hear your prayers. We have a God that hears and answers prayer, and we must believe, it says that we must believe that He is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We come to God in faith. He says He will reward your prayers. We must also ask in accordance with His will. We must have godly motives. It's only based off what Jesus Christ can do. We must have be separated from all sin. We must have faith in God's promises. But our motives must be godly. Ask Him in accordance with His will. He says, you ask, ye ask, in James 4:3, you ask, ye ask, and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. What the Bible is saying there is that you're asking for the wrong reasons. You lust after something. You desire something. It's what your own self wants. That's why you're asking. So when we line up our hearts with God's desire for our life, that's when He is willing to give all the things we ask for. If you ask anything in my name, I will be. Pastor, I asked for $1 million in God's name. He never gave it to me. Because we are asking amiss. We are trying to consume it upon our own lust. Sometimes we can even ask for good things. I want to see this person saved. But it's God's will they be saved.
Yep.
We have to understand that it's God's plan, God's purpose here. That it is that we can't do it for our own selves. It's about Him and His purpose and His plans. Next thing I think it's important to understand is to be persistent in the application. Be persistent in the application. There must be a waiting on God. There must be a waiting for God. I know we've heard stories of people who over years have been praying for an individual and they finally got saved. Being persistent. The Bible says in Luke 18:7, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? You need to think about it. Cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long. I wonder how much of us really cry day and night, but cry at all out for the things that we need. In today's fast-paced world, few people have time to spend hours on their knees in prayer. I understand that. But we can still learn from George Mueller's life. We can still learn from these five principles. Holy consecration to the Lord and our Savior. He lived in a spirit of constant prayer. He prayed until the answer came. And he no doubt, he knew that the prayer was going to come because he had faith. He believed that he was a reward. So, we see those are some things that help us be effective. Last thing is hindrances to prayer. So why don't we pray? I mean, think about it. The God of the universe created the world, created us, who's able to give us everything we need. His resources are unlimited. His power is unlimited. Why don't we pray? What hinders us from praying? You think about what He's already done. He's created the universe with mere words. He's raised Christ from the dead. He's performed a miracle in our rebirth, in our own lives. So why do we not pray? He tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And if we know He has everything that we need. Question is, why don't we pray? And I know there's probably a multitude of different reasons. I have three things I think is probably some three of the main reasons why we don't pray. First thing I think the reason why we don't pray is pride. Pride. What do you mean? You think about it. You ever saw a little guy or a little girl trying to do something that's too big of a job for them? And if you got a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, they think that they can accomplish anything, whether it's maybe trying to look in a pickle jar or trying to do something that they're too little to do. And you say, oh, can we help you? And they're like, no, I got it. Come back 10 minutes later, can I help you? No, I can handle it. Can I help you? And it's not until they get completely frustrated, they put it down and walk away. Sometimes I think in our Christian lives, we don't recognize God's superior power to our own abilities to solve problems. We think we can handle the things that come into our lives, but God brings things in our lives many times to bring us right to our knees and say, you need me. We must learn to humble ourselves. We must understand that God brings things into our lives to reveal things to us to help us get rid of her pride, deal with her pride. We think about little Naaman with the leprosy. The little girl came and told him about Elijah. Elijah said, go dip 7 times in the water. And he got so bad, so upset, because he thought that Elijah should have came out and visited him. No. God was showing him something about his pride. We think about Jonah, the great prophet that was told to go to Nineveh. Instead, he went the other way. You know what? God sent that storm to show him, look, you say you're a prophet of mine. You say you'll go where I say you'll go, but you don't do the things I ask you to. He allows things to happen in our mind to deal with pride, and we must learn and understand that hindrance to prayer is one of the things is because we are prideful, because we have a high opinion of our own ability to solve problems. But Jesus in his word says, give us this day our daily bread. It comes to the most basic needs of our lives, and we say, God, I am dependent upon you for even that single piece of bread that I get every single day. I know that I feel like I can handle getting the bread. I feel like I can handle getting the milk. I feel like I can handle getting all these things. But we must learn that every good gift comes from above. Right? We depend upon him for everything. And that's where our pride says, no, I can take care of this. The reason why many times we don't seek God is because we become prideful. We think we can handle little things, and then, boom, when something big happens, we're on our knees, we're on the altar, and God allows these things to happen to us so that way we can see that we have the need there. Everything. Our pride. Second thing, I think that the hindrance to prayer is unbelief. I think sometimes we just simply do not believe that God would answer the prayer that we pray. Instead of bringing our request before the Lord, we worry over them. We disregard the hundreds of promises that are found in the Bible. We will not hear him, and we will not let him to help us when we pray. Sometimes I just think we think, well, God's not interested in that. But God is casting all your care. Sometimes we think, well, God just can't fix this. There is nothing that God can't fix. There is nothing that God cannot do. As we look at those hard cases today, we saw the hypocritical religious leaders that turned to God. We saw the murderer Christians that turned to God. We saw the Philippian jailer that turned to God. The Onesimus, the slave that ran away, that turned to God. We saw the barbarians that turned away and that turned to God. We saw that God was able to help and heal and save any individual that turns to him. There is nothing in this world that God can't do. And it's amazing when it talks about how that verse in the Bible where it talks about Jesus was in his own country and he was not able to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. You know what? He was inside his own hometown and he had the opportunity, he had the ability to heal people, he had the ability to help people, but because of their unbelief, he wasn't able to help them. Wow. How much does God want to help us, and how much does God want to work in our lives, and how much does God want to use us? But we turn around and say, I'm not going to pray for this. It doesn't make a difference. How many of us have given up on prayer? It's so vital to a Christian walk. But one of the great hindrances of roadblocks of prayer is pride, unbelief. The next one, probably something that maybe we're all guilty of, busyness. Too busy to pray? I know that we live very good lives. I know we think of things like cell phones that make life easier, but actually, since cell phones came out, life's got a lot busy.
Right.
And we think computers and tablets and things like that can make things less stressful. You know what? We've become more and more stressful. We've become very busy. It's easy to fill our lives with important activities and even ministry activities while neglecting some of the most important things that we need to do. We need to spend time in our Bible, and we need to spend time seeking God's face and God's power. The Word of God and prayer ought to be a priority as a Christian. Much time must be made for prayer. If we're not careful with helping others, maybe counseling others, maybe even studying good Christian books, even with our work and our family, time gets away from us and takes away from our prayer time. We gotta fix that. Prayer is where our power source is. Prayer is where we hear from God and God hears from us. It's an essential. Remember, there's a priority that's placed on prayer. I think we all agree. Prayer is important. Prayer is that helps me throughout the day. Prayer is what makes me able to handle things, but then we see what makes it effective. need to make sure that I'm depending on God. I need to make sure that I'm free from sin. I need to make sure that I am seeking God in His way. But why don't we pray? Some of us got too busy. I want you to think for a few minutes. I got a couple of questions to ask you. I guess one thing in your mind, I thought about passing out a piece of paper and letting you fill it out. But I want you to think about this in just a minute or two and we'll be done. First thing I want you to think about is, how often do you pray? You can write it out if you want to, or just think about it in mind. How often? And you say, well, what do you mean on average? Look at last week. Last seven days. How many of those days did you actually pray? And I'm not just talking about, Lord, lay me down to sleep. I'm not saying, Lord, thank you for food. I mean, those are good things to say. I'm talking about where you took time set aside by yourself to talk with God. And I know we're supposed to pray without ceasing. I know that when you see some of the crazy drivers that are out on the road, you're praying the whole entire time while you're driving. Or maybe you ride with somebody that's a crazy driver and you're like holding on for your life and you're praying the whole entire time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the time you spent alone with God last week. How much time, how many days last week did you pray? Then on average, how long was your prayer those days? How long did you pray those days? And you say, Pastor, it's not a regimen thing. I'm not supposed to take out a stopwatch and say, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes and I'm going to be done. And I agree, but I think it would help us sometimes if it was just honestly, maybe for a week, time how long we pray every day. Just to me, God shows how weak we are. What do you think? Oh, I pray for a good 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or an hour, or maybe 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, whatever it is. And I'm not saying to be mechanical about it, but just to reveal to our own selves that we need to help with this. So, how many days last week did you pray? And on average, if you took those days and divided by the number of days that you prayed, on average, how long did you pray? Okay, so here's the next thing. We call it CPR prayer meetings. We do them, we do it for our men prayer practice, and we've done it a couple times out here. How much time do you spend confessing sin? That's what the C stands for. Of that, say you prayed 5 days last week and you spent 20 minutes a day on average. So how much of that time do you pray confessing to God your sins? And that's important. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And so it's important to be able to do that. So how much time do you spend confessing your sins? Next thing, the P stands for praise. We're supposed to praise Him. I mean, it's down in the Bible. The Psalms are filled with it. I know prayer actually means to ask for things, but it says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on our present. It's a time of praise, too. And we need to praise the Lord. How much of that percentage of that 20 minutes or 10 minutes did you spend time praising the Lord? And then the last one is R for request, which is probably the biggest thing that we spend our most time doing. For that percentage, how many minutes do we pray? Now, when you look at all those things, I know it humbled me that I know over here I have all these needs. And I can tell you, need after need after need, when it comes to personal things, when it comes to family things, when it comes to church things, when it comes to praying for our country, when it comes to praying for our community. You know, there's a large stack of things over here I need to be praying for. But then I go look at this list, and I see that small number that I spend asking God, bombarding God, seeking God for it. I realize why there's not that much power in many Christian lives. You know, if we think about that widow that kept on going back and forth to that judge, and you get the idea of pray without ceasing with that, she keeps on going back and forth day and night, harassing in the sense that judge. That's what God is saying that He desires for us to do is continue to pray to Him and just give it to Him and give it to Him and give it to Him over and over and over. Continue on praying. And I see that number at the end and I see, well, this is how many days I prayed last week. This is on average. I prayed this many minutes. And I spent this while just getting my heart right with God. And I spent this while, this much time praising the Lord. And I come down here to this last spot. And I realize I have this huge pile of needs, and then I see this little number, I wonder why. I don't see it in the end of the prayer, but let's see. We need to make it a priority. We need to make it a priority. We need to understand what the effective prayer is about. Then we need to recognize what the hindrances are. Deal with our pride. Deal with our busyness of schedule. And deal with our unbelief. So we can start praying to God. Because that is what's going to make a difference. When we are faithful and we follow God's will to pass out things, that will help. Praise the Lord for that. But prayer is what really, truly is going to bring us. So I even had a challenge on Sunday. I know you have to ask for the challenge to get the point. But the challenge this morning was to get five more things to pass out to people to know, but also to make a list of five people that you plan on inviting. And I want to encourage you that those five people would be people that you have not invited in a long time, or five people that maybe you think might not come. Now, if you can use your other list, if I'm talking about people, and as I was preaching this morning, you know, there's people that came to my heart and my mind, that I thought, you know what, that's somebody that's a hard case that I should invite. But I like for us, as a church family, on Sunday nights, to make a commitment to pray 5 minutes a day for our Bible conference, for our thing day, for our conference, for our music conference, for our ladies conference. 5 minutes. So if we have 50 or 60 people, because I know people are out of town. If 50 people pray 5 minutes a day, that would be 250 minutes a day. And we did that every day all the way through to our friend day. We're talking about thousands of minutes that are going to be prayed on behalf of us. And this is why we need to make a priority. So that's our challenge for Sunday evening. So in the morning time, it's going to be about inviting people. Next week, there's going to be a different challenge. And then next Sunday night, it's going to be the same challenge. We might add a little bit to it when we talk a little bit possibly about fasting, giving things up to see God answer the prayers. But that's important. Just from now to our friend day, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying for this. You say, Pastor, 5 minutes is a long time to pray for one thing. What am I supposed to pray for? If you don't know, here's a couple suggestions. Number one, pray for people to be saved. Number two, we have this postcard in the back. You know, on the postcards, it has the name of each speaker. Pray for every speaker, every day. You know what? Now, the ladies' postcard has the name of the two speakers every day. Pray for your church family to get things right with God. If there's something in their heart, pray for your church family. God send revival to Faith Baptist Church. Pray to see people saved. Pray for families that are not here, that used to be here. Bring them back to church. Pray over your list of five people. I tell you, if you do all those things, in 5 minutes is up pretty quickly. If you need more things to pray for your nation. Then what does that have to do with Bible conference? When we bring revival to our church, when people get right with God, God will then allow that effect to happen around the world where we can make a difference in the nation. So, if I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day praying for Brother Fox, praying for Brother Skelly, praying for Brother Rushing, praying for Brother Butler, praying for Brother Campbell, praying for Brother Raven, I'm going to pray for Mrs. Raven, I'm going to be praying for Mrs. Campbell, I'm going to be praying for my own pastor as he leads the church, I'm going to be praying for my church family, that they can get help during the revival time. I'm going to be praying that I send out these invitations. These are people God wants me to pray for. These are, you know what? 5 minutes is not going to take very long at all. And 5 minutes is not that much commitment. But if we as a congregation, corporate prayer, work together, and if we have a, if we're asking in Jesus' name, believing that only God can do it, and if we are free from sin, and we're asking according to His will, and we're, you know, believing that God can do it, He's rewarded those that diligently seek Him, we can see God make a difference. You say, I don't believe it. That's one of your hindrances to prayer. You don't believe that God can do it. And that's why you don't see it. Because you have not. Because you ask not. Let's try God. Let's prove God. Let's believe, receive the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We see the goodness of the Lord up there in heaven. We know it's going to be good there someday. But in the land of the living, I would have fainted if I believed not to see. And I would have gave up a long time ago if I did not believe prayer did not work. I would have fainted. I would have said, forgive it. do it, I want to have a part of it. But I'm not going to sing because I believe prayer can make a difference. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads down, eyes closed, for a time of